I'm so glad that the doors are open this morning, because I wanted to start by saying, oh, how we love spring. And I know, it almost feels like summer, but on the calendar, it's still spring. We love spring because, well, the snow has all melted. And so it is easier to get around, to walk, and to drive. It's warmer, so we can discard some of those layers that we've been wearing for months, maybe even turn off the furnace. It's brighter, the days are growing longer, and our planet's orbit is closer to the sun, so it feels warmer and stronger. And plants start growing, trees begin to blossom, flowers bloom, ducklings and goslings hatch, fawns and calves and foals and piglets and lambs are born. Spring is full of life. Spring is full of life because God made it so. Those flowers that sprout up from bulbs, they all soak up all the sunlight they can, which travels back down to their roots to nurture the bulb, so it'll rest over the winter and bloom again in the spring. Trees that shed their leaves in the fall sprout new ones every spring. Most flowering trees and shrubs set their buds in late summer or early fall. They get ready even before winter for the next growing season. It's in their DNA, the DNA God gave them when God took the nothingness of space and created the world as we know it. And the work of God is not confined to those 7 days of creation, says the Apostle Paul. It is ongoing. God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not, God is always at work. God's faithfulness is seen in Abraham's story. God's power is seen in Jesus' story. As my friend and colleague Nathan Ritter said to me this week, resurrection is contagious wherever Jesus goes. Just look at the gospel lesson for today. A synagogue ruler comes to Jesus because his daughter has been ill and has died. And he asks Jesus to come and lay hands on the child because he believes Jesus carries the power of God, and Jesus can make even the dead live again. And on the way to the synagogue ruler's home, a woman who has fought her own health battle for 12 years comes up behind Jesus. This woman has been bleeding for 12 years, a condition that has made her untouchable. She has lived a sort of half-life for more than a decade, literally been kept at arm's length by those she loves, unable to participate in the life of the community. She's a sort of walking dead. And she puts her faith in the Son of God. If only I touch his cloak, I will be healed. And at that moment, she is healed. The bleeding stops. The exile from society comes to an end. Her life is restored. And Jesus continues on his way to the synagogue ruler's home. And when he arrives there, he ushers this crowd of mourners outside. And then he takes the little girl by the hand, and she rises up from her deathbed. Wherever Jesus goes, resurrection is contagious. It's even present in the first part of our gospel reading for today, the part about Matthew being called as a disciple, because Matthew also experiences a form of resurrection. Matthew, the scripture tells us, is a tax collector, which means that he works for the Roman government. Now, the Jewish people view the Romans as invaders in their homeland, an occupying military force. So when Jewish people like Matthew accept employment as tax collectors, their countrymen view them with disdain. And it's widely believed that many tax collectors took advantage of their situation, collecting more than the law required, profiting from their office. The Talmud, which is the teaching and interpretation of the laws of Moses, classified tax collectors alongside harlots, murderers, and robbers as chief among sinners, and the faithful were not to associate with them. Matthew has become an outsider to his own ethnic and faith community. He may be partially cut off, maybe even completely pushed out. And Jesus chooses Matthew to become a disciple. He welcomes Matthew into the community he is building. Jesus gives Matthew a new chance at life. When the Pharisees confront Jesus about his association with sinners, he reminds them of the words from the prophet Hosea, who tells us that God desires mercy, not sacrifice. Jesus says it's his job not to call the righteous, but the sinners, with the message of God's love and grace. It's a message that brings life because it brings people into the fold of God's love and the community of faith. It's a message that relies on faith, not on the particulars of the law. That's what Paul is conveying in his letter to the Romans. He lifts up Abraham and Sarah, the great patriarch and matriarch of Jewish history. And then he says it wasn't the law that set Abraham right with God. The law, as God gave it to Moses, was still centuries away from being carved in stone. And it wasn't the act of circumcision that set men right with God. That part of the covenant had not yet been struck when Abraham believed and hoped and lived into God's promise of life abundant. Abraham's body, says Paul, was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and Sarah's womb was also dead, meaning she was long past the age of childbearing. And yet, God the Creator brought life to them in the form of their son Isaac. And through Isaac, the promise of descendants as numerous as the stars in heaven or the sands on the beach became reality. But the seed was planted when Abraham put his faith in God. And so, Paul says, everyone who puts their faith in God is a child of God. And everyone who puts their faith in God inherits God's kingdom because of their faith. There is no other requirement. And everyone who puts their faith in God is on equal footing with one another when it comes to the relationship with God. And this may have been a challenging message for the church in Rome to hear. The church in Rome, like so many of the early churches in other communities throughout the empire, was probably composed of a cross-section of the population. Now, those early churches didn't have buildings. They met in people's homes. And the most likely hosts, the ones with space and resources, would have been the more wealthy persons in their communities. So likely they would have had some servants who might also have come to the Christian faith alongside the family. There might have been friends of those hosts with similar economic and social status. There might have been servants from other households. There might have been Roman citizens as well as those who did not hold citizenship. There might have been people raised in Jewish tradition and those raised in polytheistic traditions. The house church in Rome probably reflected the same mixture of ethnicity and background and social status as other early churches did. To sit side by side at table, to pray together, to acknowledge the same gift of the Holy Spirit in every person in that room must have been a challenge, because the minute they walked out that door and into the street, that equality evaporated in the eyes of society. But the God of creation, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being the things that were not, bids us all live into that equality and embrace the new way of life as an act of faith. Friends, as God's people who live in an imperfect society, we are called to embrace the ideal of perfect love that God sets before us. We are called to show God's love to all people and to build community where everyone is valued and treated with compassion and respect. That means that racism has no place in our church. Homophobia has no place in our church. Ageism and sexism and ableism have no place in our church. hatred and a disregard or a disrespect for the needs of others have no place in our church. And beyond the doors of our church, hatred and disregard and disrespect have no place in our lives. If we are to show God's love to all persons, that is not just a Sunday morning job. It's a 24 hours a day, 7 days a week responsibility. It's one we take with us to work, or to school, or to the grocery store, or to the theater, or to the soccer stadium. God's love and the new life, the good and abundant life God's love brings, that is part of our DNA as Christ followers. Resurrection is contagious wherever Jesus goes. Let resurrection life and the perfect love of God be contagious wherever you go to. Amen, friends.